Hello, everyone. This is the Road to Medical Sales podcast. Please make sure to press that subscribe button, rate us, and leave us a review so that we can continue to grow and impact as many lives as possible. Today, I have the pleasure of talking to one of my very good friends, Sarah Stringham. Sarah didn't waste any time beginning her sales career. She got hired by British Petroleum as an associate sales representative almost immediately upon graduating from the University of Wisconsin Business School. Go Badgers. While an associate, she supported seven territory managers, assisting the district to finishing 105% to plan in 2017. She did that all while being asked to also backfill the positions of two territory managers within that district. After stepping up to the plate and overperforming, she was promoted to a territory manager. While in that position, she also managed five distributors and finished at 138% to plan and was ranked number two in the country for territory growth. She was hired by Boston Scientific in 2019 as an associate sales representative and was quickly promoted to a territory manager only 7 months later. In this podcast, we try to bring on guests that can offer a wide variety of perspectives. In both my personal experience and in speaking with others, it is very common for candidates to be told that they either do not qualify for the job because of their lack of sales experience, or perhaps they get to the final interview and they get the call where they're told that the company went in another direction, simply because the other candidate had more sales experience. Today, I'm going to be talking to Sarah and getting her perspectives about all of this from someone that has already had success in two very different sales industries. With all that being said, Sarah, thank you so much for jumping on the episode with me. I'm so excited to get this started as we're going to be talking and trying to shed some light on the importance of previous sales experience before entering into medical device. Or maybe not.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. I am so honored to be on this episode. I hope your listeners will get some good insight on what that transition does look like going from another sales industry into med device.
Awesome. Let's dive right into it. So you went from oil sales at BP to medical device sales at Boston Scientific. You're having so much success at BP. So why did you want to break into med device?
That is a great question, Sarah. I could probably take a whole episode talking about it, but I won't. But it was a tough decision. You know, I was there for 3 years. There were customers I built great relationships with. There were aspects of the job I loved, but I knew that it was not the industry and the product I wanted to be selling for the entirety of my career. And I did a lot of reflection. This went, you know, on for probably over a year. It wasn't like I just woke up one day and decided I was going to make the switch. I did, a lot of research, talked to people in other sales gigs, tried to figure out what they liked, what they didn't like about it. And I had a friend that did medical device, and I was in constant contact with her, just trying to learn more about the role. And I decided that was something that I wanted to try out. So went for it, and now I'm here working for Boston Scientific.
That's awesome. So, you know, these med device interview processes take a lot of time, right? Usually they're going through 5-6 interviews. It's really time consuming. So how did the med device interview process differ from your previous sales job?
Well, you nailed it on the head, Sarah. There are so many interviews in the whole med device interview process. You know, overall, I will say sales interviews are a different kind of interview. They're tough. My final round interview at BP was an extremely difficult case interview. But the tough part about med device is there are so many rounds. And you know that they're talking to a lot of candidates when they're interviewing you. And it's just running in the back of your mind, all right, I made it to the next round. How many candidates are still here? How many more people do I still have to beat out? And, you know, when it comes down to the final one, there's a lot of pressure. Boston Scientific goes straight up with me that, you know, it's you and someone else. So, you know, that definitely just adds an additional layer of complexity. I appreciated the transparency, but, you know, it was one of those I really had to finally tune out what the candidates were and just really focus on why they should hire me and why I'm the best person for the job.
That's awesome. We're getting a lot of phone calls from candidates saying, you know, a lot of this is done virtually now. So gone are the times, at least for the time being, where you can sit, you know, face to face with that person and your personality really shines through. And it was something that these candidates were really nervous about. And every time now that I have you on here, I actually bring up your first interview because so I was a senior associate at the time. Brian was a territory manager. Brian and I were very specific about the type of person that we were looking to join the team. And you were our last interview of the day. It was a FaceTime interview and it went so well. We immediately hung up the phone and Brian and I looked at each other and said, that's our teammate. We still had five interviews, you know, the next day. But for those listening, it is possible to make a huge impact, a positive impact on the type of person you are and what you'll bring to the role virtually, right? I mean, you're a testament to that. So, you know, it was just something that I kind of wanted to bring up to let make people feel a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. And I think going off of that, you know, in sales, you really have to be adaptable. I'm on my phone all the time. You know, Sarah, just like you, like I have phone calls coming in. Now with COVID-19, I think how we do business and sales in period is going to change and go to that virtual platform. So instead of looking at it as, you know, kind of a burden to getting into the industry, I think these candidates can really try to embrace the process and prove to these employers that they can perform virtually and they'll perform virtually in front of the customer as well.
That's awesome. I love that perspective. So what was the transition like from oil to med device? Was it necessarily as smooth as you thought it would be?
Not at all. It was tough. You were there right along beside me for the first 2 months working on the same team. And I struggled. It was a very humbling experience. Obviously at BP, I knew the customers, I had relationships, I knew my product, I knew my competitor's product, I knew all the technical components of it. And then I got thrown into this industry where, I mean, I'd never been in an operating room before. And I think too, you know, when you do transition to sales, especially in med device, like there's no grace period. Your doctors need you to add value for them. So it just adds a whole nother layer of complexity on top of just being in a sales role. Like you have a quota and your company is expecting you to hit the quota on top of you being like, I don't even know how people do business in med device. I remember we were bringing new products into the hospitals and you and Brian are talking to me about the VAC and I'm going home Googling like, what's this VAC? Like, I don't get it. I'm so confused. Like, how do I get this like new product in? Like, who are these people they're talking about?
Right.
So it was definitely tough and there's a steep learning curve. I'm only a year in and I'm continuing to learn every day. But those first 6 months when people do transition, I would just advise them to really plan to dedicate their time to their job because it's a lot starting out.
That's awesome. And even with the previous sales experience too.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of echoing off that because I know a lot of listeners don't have sales experience and are trying to get in. I think it's important, but it's not everything. The part that I really appreciated having sales experience was it was the one thing I was comfortable with. I understood, you know, my doctors need me to add value to them somehow. My product, I need to show them, you know, what the benefit is to them. You know, it, they always talk in sales. There's the features. We got to tie it to the benefits. That was the one thing that I felt like I was comfortable with in a world where I didn't know anything else.
Right.
That is the benefit, but I don't think it's necessary to have sales experience coming in.
So kind of going off of that, what are the differences between the types of sales? Did your sales process change at all once you were in med device?
Yeah, great question. So there were similarities. I'll go over that first. So you know, in my old job, it was getting in front of the customer. Now it's getting in front of the doctor. I used to show case studies. Now I show clinical articles, you know, discussing the product, what it means for them, you know, what's the benefit, how I think I can help them. The biggest difference now is before I was really focused on gaining new customers. When they would switch suppliers, it was a huge burden for them. Like, it would take sometimes over a year to fully convert over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're in this, I can get a case out of it, you know, but also too, I know that some of my loyalists, the doctors that solely use my product, my competitor can easily go in there and say like, hey, you know, I think you should try this out because of, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I can help you here. And then all of a sudden I've lost a case. So I think the customer service perspective of it in med device, I have to focus on more because it results in better sales numbers than I did in my other job.
That's super interesting and a great point too. So you were just promoted to a territory manager at Boston Scientific. You've now been a territory manager in two different industries. What TM qualities are different in medical sales? And do you run your territory differently than when you did in oil sales?
Yeah. So I would say a TM in a med device territory, there are a lot of details that you cannot screw up on.
Right.
Like there is, you know, I talk to you about this all the time. There is zero room for error, whether it's my error, you know, oftentimes it's other people's errors that I have to go and fix. I think there is more grace in other periods, but it makes sense too. I mean, the operating room is, it's intense, you know, and if the wrong product's there, the hospital's losing out on tens of thousands of dollars because of your fault. Like, right. Obviously, they're not going to be very forgiving about that, and neither is the doctor.
Right.
But some qualities I do think are similar. Before my old job, I cover two states now. And, you know, it's a lot of looking at my schedule, figuring out where I have to be when, what I have going on, what customers I've checked in with recently, which ones I haven't. Because there is so much to do in sales, which I think we'll talk about later as well, that you have to optimize your time. And those are going through the interview process. They're going to ask you how you look at your schedule, how you prioritize stuff. Because the reality is there are times when I have five things I'm supposed to be doing at once and like five places I'm supposed to be at the same time. How am I going to figure out what I'm going to do?
Right, exactly. So you just passed your 1 year mark in med device. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. It's been a journey.
No kidding. So be honest. What are the pros and cons of the job compared to your previous sales role?
Well, I'll start with the cons so we can end on a positive note with the pros.
Perfect.
So cons, and I remember Ed Cooney, who's my manager now and was interviewed a couple weeks ago, when he gave me the job, he told me, he's like, you know, this is a lifestyle. And he nailed it on the head. You know, the OR never shuts down. The OR is open all the time, every day, every holiday. And because of that, you know, based on when cases and things come in, an infection case might come up on the weekend. If you're in trauma sales, you're going to be going in the middle of the night. You can't fully shut down either. And, you know, there are times in my personal life where I've just had to make big adjustments because, you know, yeah, I might have somebody's birthday or something going on at night, but I'm going to be at the hospital at 8 p.m. because that's when the doctor put on the case and I need to hit my quota and I need to be there for him. So I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
Pros. It is a phenomenal industry. I love it. It was such a good decision for me. The things I love about it, the technology that these companies bring to the medical industry is so exciting. It makes the job fun. There's new things constantly being developed in the pipeline, and they pour so much money into bringing these awesome products that are fun to sell and add so much value to patients, to doctors, to the hospitals. It makes the job exciting. The other pro I would say, leaving the OR after a good case where, you know, I feel like I really assisted the doctor in providing top level patient care. It is a rush and a high that I can't even describe. It feels so good. So the, you know, I think those two things are the reasons that I'm for sure going to stay. I know this is the industry that I want my career to be in moving forward.
I'm glad you brought up the 24 hours of the OR because you and I were just talking about this before we got started recording.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about it all the time, right? Those angry calls at 2 o'clock when we're driving.
Yeah.
But there's a huge false perspective that people have of medical device sales, right? They think that it's so easy. Everything's handed to us. All we have to do is show up to the cases and we get a fat paycheck, which is not true at all.
Yeah, there's no free lunch. I always say that if, you know, you're getting paid well, there's a reason for it.
Right.
I mean, and there's a lot of things that I think, you know, the doctors and the staff don't see. You know, for example, Thursday, I was in the OR in cases for 12 hours and I left. And then I had to go to the airport and fly to Albuquerque to then go to a case early in the morning. So, right. You know, they don't see that standpoint. They don't see the ordering product. They don't see going to the clinics and helping patients, helping the staff, case issues, all of that stuff. And at the end of the day too, like, quote, you have a quota, like right. That it's not just like you show up to the case and you get this paycheck. You know, your company's looking at you saying, oh, cool, you did, you know, this many cases this year, this month. Well, this is how many that we want you to do next month. And, you know, it's always building on itself. And that's how you're judged. Like, if you're not hitting quota in the company's eyes, you're not doing your job. Yep. There is a huge pressure with that. And quotas are tough. Quotas were tough at BP. They're tough here. It's not easy to hit your quota, you know. That's why the people that get President's Club and are blowing out of the water, that is a huge accomplishment. Right. Huge.
Absolutely. All the things that go unnoticed behind the scene.
Yes.
So what have you learned the most in this past year? Either something you learned about yourself or about the medical industry or maybe even both?
Great question. So, you know, I think like a lot of listeners, I always thought the challenge was breaking into the industry, and I got in and there's just always more challenges. You know, there's turnover on the teams, there's promotions, there, like every single week there is another challenge that comes up, but it builds on itself. You know, I think the getting through the interview process and, you know, what even happens in the role day to day for me, it helps me build a skill set to continue to tackle these challenges that keep coming on. But I just want people to be aware, because I think I was a little taken aback that I was like, this is awesome. I'm in. Here we go. And it's like, wow, I can see why the interview process is intense, because this job is really intense too. But I mean, it's definitely manageable. I just think, you know, you have to go in it without rose-colored glasses on.
I love it. So what is some advice that you'd want to give our listeners? I think many of them are trying to break into the medical device industry and are being faced with the hurdles of lacking sales experience. So what's kind of something that you would say to those specific people?
Yeah, keep going at it. I applied and interviewed for 30 plus medical sales jobs. And I looked into pharmaceuticals, lab diagnostics, capital equipment, implants. And the other important thing too is, you know, if a company writes you off and doesn't give you an offer for a job you interviewed for, don't write off that company. This is the second job I applied and interviewed for at Boston Scientific. And you know what? The other first two didn't work out, but I kept reaching out to the recruiters. I had made contacts and connections. I looked on their job posting websites every single day. And when this job got posted, I saw it 5 hours later and emailed the recruiter saying, hey, like, I saw this was posted. When are you going to start interviewing? So just keep at it. Reach out to the recruiters on LinkedIn. Build your contacts. Build your connections. It's very similar to the sales process. If a doctor says, no, I don't want to use your product, which, you know, I know, Sarah, I've talked to you. It's happening to me right now. It's not like I walk away and say, oh, he's never going to use it. Right. I mean, I keep on talking to him. I keep on going in there. And one day I'm going to get a case. One day I might get all of his business. I probably will. That's my plan. So you have to have that mindset when you're interviewing for these jobs.
I love it. And that mindset, you know, coming from a sales background might be a little bit, you know, you might not be so phased, you know, throughout the, you know, you're trying to get the interviews, whereas those who might not have the sales experience, they're not used to being told no. They think no is no forever, not no right now.
Yes.
Right. So even, I mean, what you just said is true for whether you had previous sales experience or whether you didn't, because the interview process is a cold call.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, it is. It's selling yourself. I mean, how are you going to sell a product if you're not selling yourself? And more research is coming out that, you know, customers do business based on the value the reps provide them. It's not necessarily the product. So you're selling yourself in these interviews because you're going to have to be, you know, selling yourself when you're out, you know, working for a medical company. And I think you bring up a good point. Like, how many times are you and I told no in a week? And it's tough. Like, it wears on you. Yep. Sales is a grind. You know, there's a reason that, you know, people that do well in sales, no matter the industry, get compensated well, because it really can wear on you. And, you know, there's periods where it's just like you're getting rocked one thing after the next. And it's like, no. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Like, and it, you have to stay buoyant and be able to, you know, keep yourself accountable, keep yourself, you know, nose to the grindstone, and know that if you keep on plugging and chugging, you will get to a yes eventually.
That's awesome. And you brought up a good point. Something that I tell people too is if you can't sell yourself in an interview, how are you going to sell a product? Yeah. I mean, you know yourself better than anybody.
Exactly.
Right? So funny. So I'm already laughing.
Oh no.
As I look at you. As I look at you and ask this question. So tell me a funny story from your first year in med device.
Well, she's giggling because she was there for it and is the epitome of stupid stuff new reps in med device say. So just like at Cunha, I'm in the penile implant business. So that's what, you know, I always say orthopedics didn't pick me, penises picked me. and Sarah and I were on the same team. I was following her around at cases, you know, trying to learn the ropes. And we had just launched this new penile implant that was, you just kind of bent it up and bent it down. There's no pump involved. Usually there's a pump that sits in the scrotum and the guy, you know, will squeeze that pump and then he gets an erection, then he deflates. So that's usually what's used. So we're in this case and she's talking to the doctor. We're about to start. And the doctor's like, yeah, like I have this patient. He wants to get your new device, and the doctor starts blushing. He's like, I'm just like too embarrassed to tell you why though. And, you know, Sarah asks, oh, like why? And he's like, well, he wants that device so his wife can play with it while he sleeps. And then I blurt out, well, if he got the inflatable, she could play with the pump in his ball sack while he sleeps. And like everyone just, nobody said anything. The doctor just gives me this look like, who is this chick? And he turns to walk out to go to the scrub sink. And Sarah just looks at me and smiles and shakes her head, like embarrassed for me, and goes, I can't believe you just said that. And then turns and walks out as I'm just standing in the OR. Like, I'm like, what do I do? Do I just go walk out the back door right now? Like, I totally embarrassed myself. And I had just told Sarah about this, which is still pretty funny. I don't cover that doctor anymore, but I was helping out a coworker to cover one of his cases. And I showed up and the first thing he said when he saw me was, where's Grant? So he obviously didn't want me there. Did not make the best first impression, but you know what? Count your losses. It's cut your losses. We're good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as a new rep, you're trying to build rapport. I mean, building rapport is a little different in the penile implant industry, but I mean, we all get through stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a learning experience. I think now I've gotten better at just, you know, shutting up and not saying anything instead of saying something incredibly stupid like that. So,
I mean, I'd hope so. Good grief. Well, you know, I knew this was going to be a good episode. I knew it was going to be fun. Thank you. And I really think that you've shed some light on the differences between sales industries and how, although you did have previous sales experience, sometimes it doesn't necessarily exactly correlate how you had expected it to. So thank you so much for being on this episode, for your honesty, and just explaining things from your perspective.
Thank you so much for having me on, Sarah. You have just been such a mentor to me throughout this process, and I'm so happy to have you as a friend and somebody I can talk to in the medical device industry. And yeah, hopefully the listeners find a lot of value in this podcast.
I think they will. You're so sweet. Thank you. I'm going to take off similar to how Scott does after every episode, with a very sincere thank you for tuning in and a little personal spin on an already great quote. If opportunity doesn't knock,
build a damn door.